The Future of Zero COVID in China. From Marketplace, I'm Sari Benishor, in for David Brancaccio. The government of China appears to be relaxing some of its COVID-19 testing requirements and quarantine policies in some cities. This is after citizens' frustrations with 3 years of lockdowns, forced quarantines, and strict testing requirements boiled over this past weekend. Dozens of protests erupted around the country. But there's concern that China isn't prepared for relaxing its zero COVID policy. A lot of elderly people remain insufficiently vaccinated. China's Sinovac vaccine requires 3 shots to work well, and the government hasn't allowed more effective foreign vaccines into the country. For some context, we've got Scott Kennedy, a senior advisor and trustee chair in Chinese business and economics at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Scott, good morning.
Good morning.
You were just in China for 2 months. Did you get any sense of the resentment bubbling up that we've seen unleashed in the past week?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Just about everybody I met who I know really well expressed frustration that the restrictions had gone on for 3 years. And yet, I think people just really have had it. And they've compared where China is to the rest of the world, which has moved on, and that's made things worse for them.
You know, it seems like China's government has backed itself into a corner. It refused to allow in foreign vaccines that were more effective than its own Sinovac vaccine, and it didn't push people, particularly the elderly, to get vaccinated, and instead just locked entire cities up. This is a country that can literally move mountains. So why did the government make these choices?
I think it comes back to the fact that for the first 2 years of the pandemic, this strategy of using the power of the state to control people's movements worked. They kept the virus at bay and the economy kept moving along. What they didn't expect was that Omicron would overwhelm their efforts to do so. Also, Xi Jinping was coming up on the 20th Party Congress in October to get a third term and didn't want to take the risks, most likely, of what might go wrong if they did switch gears.
Between the lockdowns and now protests and unrest, do you think there is a threat to China's place as the manufacturer of the world or a threat to supply chains?
The struggle that China has had with the pandemic and zero COVID is part of a larger list of problems that China has with the rest of the world. There is a major reevaluation going on in boardrooms around the world about China's place in these companies' future and in the global economy's future. This just further propels companies to come up with alternative plans for how they produce and estimates for what the China market will be like going forward.
So where do you see all this going?
You know, certainly the Chinese are really frustrated with zero COVID. I visited Shanghai, where they had gone through 2 to 3 months of lockdown earlier this year, and they weren't only angry, they were really depressed and traumatized. So there's a lot of pent-up frustration that needs to be dealt with, and that's why we're seeing this outpouring of protest online and in the streets. That said, this is not going to translate into a broader threat to the regime or political stability, in part because Xi Jinping and the Communist Party has so many tools to clamp down on censorship online, on the streets. In addition, I think people really are not looking to change the political system and know that that's an impossibility. What they want is their normal lives back. And I think leadership has gotten that message. And even though they won't admit that they're moving away from zero COVID, that is what they're doing.
Scott Kennedy is a senior advisor and trustee chair in Chinese business and economics at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Scott, thank you so much.
Thank you.
The U.S. Senate has moved to head off a rail strike, voting to force rail workers and rail companies to accept an agreement negotiated back in September. Workers would get a 24% pay bump by 2024. The House had added extra sick days when it voted on the plan earlier this week. The Senate appears to have taken that out. This now goes to President Biden to sign. All right, let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.2%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures also down about 0.1%. The yield on the 10-year Treasury is 3.520%.
The European Union is getting close to imposing a $60 per barrel price cap on Russian oil. The idea is to keep Russian oil moving into the global economy, but limit President Putin's ability to fund the war in Ukraine. Meanwhile, a Ukrainian economic advisor is demanding British Petroleum use proceeds from its investments in Russia to help Ukrainian war victims. More details from the BBC's Theo Leggett.
Before the war in Ukraine, BP held a near 20% stake in Rosneft, one of Russia's biggest companies. In February, it announced it would halt its operations in the region and offload its shareholding. But for the moment, it still owns its shares. BP insists it's not received any dividends from Rosneft since announcing its plan to get rid of its Russian investments. It says under Russian regulations, any such payments would go into a highly restricted bank account and could not be transferred without the approval of the Russian government.
That was Theo Leggett with our editorial partner, the BBC. Our digital producer is Redmond Carilipio. Our engineers are Jessen Dueler and Nick Esposito. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.